7:44 at WGCL. Glass in the morning. Thank you for being with us. The 11th day of April 2016. Rain, and more rain today. But that 7-day forecast after today is absolutely perfect. So let's worry about that instead. You can check the radar at WGCLradio.com, and you'll just see plenty of green and yellow as rain is moving through the area. We could have upwards of 2 inches today, so be aware in lower-lying areas or places that you know that flood quickly. That could be giving you some problems today. On the telephone with us on a Monday morning, though, at 7:45, is Joe Smith. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Glass. Despite the rain, I like the extended forecast. Looks good.
Looks great. And the great news about the
5-week, everything. Temperatures in the 70s.
Temperatures in the 70s, cool at nighttime, spring football game coming up this weekend as well. And the good news about the rain, Joe, on Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and Monday morning means we got a full roundup of high school action in on the weekend as they play on Saturdays. Now, I'm not going to tell you it was hot on Saturday because it wasn't, but it was sunny and dry, and that's all we need. And the softball diamonds were jumping, and the North Cougars get us started here on a Monday morning.
Well, last week, for a good part, fell victim to cold, wet weather, but a couple of softball highlights topping week number two's top performances here on a Monday. Junior Kinsey Ridge came within a hit batsman of hurling a perfect game as Emily Kranz, North Coug, stayed unbeaten this spring, blanking Mitchell 9-0, complete with 16 strikeouts in the no-hit gym. Earlier in the week, sophomore Lizzie Skiba blanked Eastern on a 5-hitter in her varsity debut 14-0. The Cougs are off to an unbeaten spring start here at 4-0. Meanwhile, South senior Nikki Yenis hit a long Grand Slam home run out at Winslow to bring the Panthers of Meg Montgomery from behind to ahead, a 7-4 win over Edgewood. Yenis on the night, 4-for-4 with 5 RBI. South begins its week 2-1. Meg Hammett, softball girls, mentioning the Mustangs, lasted Greencastle 16-6 last week behind the home run balls of senior first baseman Jordan Howell and sophomore third baseman Taylor Acuff. Taylor connected on her third and fourth round trippers of the year, knocked in 5 and scored 3 runs in her usual cleanup spot as the Mustangs exploded for 4 runs in each of the first 3 innings against Greencastle. For Jordan, her first of the year, batting leadoff, Howell scored 4 runs with a couple of hits on the night. Edgewood now in his 3 wins have scored 56 runs, improving to 3-4 as they pounded Mitchell on Saturday 14-4. Junior left fielder Serena Morris had an 8-hit week, and junior Carly Lamb pitched both of those Mustang wins. Was mentioning Taylor Acuff here a second ago with her great night at the softball complex. The sophomore moved over then to the Mustang track oval and helped Ryan Rosenberg's girls to score some points. Never really changing out of her softball uniform, throwing the discus and winning that event, 91 feet 7. Elsewhere, Micah Doering's fellas, they beat Brown County and Martinsville as the Mustangs edge BC by 3 and Martinsville by 4 to get the team win. Seniors Mason Saylor and Braden Patton each had 2 individual wins, Saylor sweeping the high and low hurdles, and Patton the shot and discus. Also in track and field last week, North swept B&L in Brown County. Brown County is senior Gracie Heap won both hurdles in the long jump for the girls, and senior Malik LaFoon won the 300 highs and the high jump. South swept Columbus North as seniors Evan Franklin and Will Hopkins and junior Caleb Butt all had 2 individual wins. IU-bound senior Megan Grabowski won 3 event wins, both sprints, and anchored the 400-meter relay. Dustin Carver's fourth-ranked South golfers, yeah, they're up to number 4 this week. They won the Franklin Central, or rather the Floyd Central Invitational by 11 shots, shooting a 319, junior Tanner Shapiro, team medalist with a 77. Edgewood junior Austin Langley had a team medal 90 score as the Mustangs tied for eighth at the Northview Invite over at Forest Park in Brazil. Earlier in the week, Gary Lee's crew played the Quarry 9 out of the gates and beat Lighthouse Christian by 29, shooting a team score 193. Junior Jason Brown won team medal honors with a 46. The Lion Sam Huff won the medal with a 41 that day. Earlier in the week, Mustang freshman Jackson Wendell had a team medal 46 in his first varsity match as they beat Mitchell down at Stonecrest. North got in one tennis match last week as senior Anna McCoy and sophomore Lillian McAfee didn't drop a set in winning for Barb Mills at 1-2 singles as North blanked Edgewood 5-0. The Cougar baseball team did not play a game due to the weather, and both South and Edgewood went 1-3 last week. And to start week three here on a Monday, guess what? More rain, but the forecast looks good the rest of the week as we move on into week number three on the spring beat. In the zone, David Glass and your phone calls tonight at 6.
Tough one for North. If they can't, what are they going to play, Joe? They need to build a dome over there. We got to call Mike Mosbrucker, put the tarp over
game.
The
North golfers didn't get a game in. there was a lot postponed because of the chill and the weather on Saturday, so South hasn't played. I don't believe they've played a tennis match yet, so it's been kind of tough this spring so far. But, as you say, the weather looks good this week.
It sure does. And how about the start for the Cincinnati Reds, Joe?
How about those Kings of the Ohio, huh?
They threw
5-1, huh?
They threw one bad pitch on the weekend. It was hit for a grand slam in the eighth inning. Was that Friday night? Hoover gave up the pitch.
Sterling Martin.
And they hit it a mile on a cold night. All 16 people in the stands at the Great American Ballpark watched that one sail out.
Yeah, they did.
But that was it. The Reds had the best of it.
They're doing it with really a no-name pitching staff.
Exactly.
They throw another one tonight at Cincinnati or at Chicago. If they can get it in, John Lester pitches against Finnegan. I think his name's Mike Finnegan.
And yeah, they've got the AAA bus revved up and ready to go between Louisville
sure
and Cincinnati.
Do,
but the bullpen has been great. Guys situationally have been really good, and the veterans have been knocking in hits when they need to. The veterans
Suarez
and the new guys.
Suarez has 4 home runs this year.
In 6 games. He's the Trevor Story of the National League Central. How about that kid? He hit 7 home runs in 6
unbelievable.
Games. It's the most ever in Major League Baseball history.
Unbelievable.
More than Willie Mays, more than Mike Schmidt.
He hit 13 total last year at 3 different stops in the minors.
He's seeing the ball pretty well right now.
Must be.
And there's probably a special cup in his locker after his next game. The good news for Reds fans is we have him on the radio tonight, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. 3 in Chicago before heading to St. Louis on the weekend. So if the Reds, Joe, in the seven-game trip can go 3-4, I don't think there'll be anything wrong with that as well. Some more timely hitting, some more timely pitching. So you couldn't ask for a better start. And a little frustrating because the Reds were up 5-2 with 2 outs and 2 strikes in the 8th inning on Friday night.
Yeah.
That was the tough part. It wasn't like they got beat 13-1. They were up and leading, and one pitch made it 6-5, and away you go.
Well, this will be interesting, too. A nice test since both Central Division teams are 5-1, and they're playing the other 5-1 team tonight. This is going to be the Cubs' scheduled home opener after opening up with 5 wins on the road. So 2 5-1 clubs, good baseball on the radio this week.
Yep, and it's awesome. And you can catch the whole Reds updated schedule at WGCLradio.com. We could probably do, 2 or 3 days on Jordan Spieth's final 9 holes.
But
the 63 before that were awfully, awfully good, Joe. Well, at least 60 of them were.
Yeah.
Spieth was 8-under at one point on Saturday and 7-under, making the turn on Sunday. He finished the golf tournament -2. The interesting thing how history views this will be, will the Jordan Spieth collapse be remembered more than the Danny Willett 67 no bogeys and the green jacket?
Kind of like when Faldo beat
Greg Norman. But here's the deal. Norman had never won the Masters.
No,
Spieth
you're right.
has. So I think that's a little bit more interesting. Jordan Spieth now has as many green jackets as Danny Willett, if you want to put it in an interesting perspective.
Well, you got to give Jordan a lot of credit for doing what he had to do, and that was present the jacket in a tough situation with no cool down period there right after the right after the round yesterday and then do it again in the formal presentation out on the course, but he showed a lot of class in defeat yesterday.
And I don't think anybody was surprised to see any of that. I think they were more surprised to see him put two balls in the water on 12 after
especially making the second one.
Yes. And again, he said, I never want to have to relive that 30 minutes again. But Jack's lost him that way. Arnie lost him that way. Tom Watson's lost him that way. Tiger Woods has lost that. Everybody's done it.
He's had meltdowns.
You're exactly right. This is not a new club that he is opening. And Greg Norman has done it that way, as you mentioned, at Augusta. So sometimes history does repeat itself. But a great golf tournament as always. The Masters does start on the back nine on Sunday. Jordan Spieth made four birdies to close the front nine to have a five-shot lead, and you thought the tournament was over. Not so fast,
my
friends.
Gone in 50 minutes.
That's exactly right. What else are we missing? Pacers are in the playoffs. That's good news. We'll see who they play. They have two games left. They're tied with Detroit. Joe, if they finish eighth, they get Cleveland. If they finish seventh, they get Toronto. Well, I guess it's better than not playing in the playoffs, but Miles Turner had a big night last night. He had 28. He's going to be a nice player. That's the good news for the Pacers.
Yeah.
When we come back.
39 points, got off to a great start. That was their high-scoring game of the year, I think.
Yep, and Brooklyn stinks, and they needed to do that. Yep. We'll be back at 8:45. We'll talk about the Hoosier sweep of Purdue.
Yeah, how about that? Got the Indiana Governor's Point as well with the 3 one-run wins over the Boilers. But
as we like to
say, they were all W's. That's what matters.
Broom service. We like it. Sweep them up. Even a little rain delay couldn't stop their momentum. We'll do that and get caught on the Hoosier beat coming up at 8:45.
We'll be here to do her.
Happy Monday. Yeah, it's going to rain all day, but it's warm. 57 degrees downtown at WGCL. The rain will quit after dinner time, and then the next 7 days are absolutely perfect. So let's not worry about that. One day to trade in for seven, that'll work out for us. Joe Smith time at 8:45 at WGCL. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Glass, I'm fine on this Monday, despite the rainy, drippy weather. But, you know, nice forecast and looking ahead, so spring hopefully will spring itself back into reality starting tomorrow.
It will, and we'll have some visitors on the weekend that will spring things up. Everybody have a little bit of a pep in their step on the weekend. And last weekend, Joe, you might have had hand warmers, wool socks, and a blanket on, but a little rain yesterday, a little cold temperatures Friday afternoon, and Saturday didn't stop the Hoosiers' broom service as the Boilermakers were in town for baseball.
Well, 3 one-run wins, the sweep of Purdue, a 4-0 baseball week at Indiana Governor's Point in the series with PU, 8.5 to 7.5 now as it whittles itself down. But Chris Lemonis' baseball batsman dialed in this past weekend, and away we go. Away to a 4-2 Big Ten record now after the weekend sweep. This one Sunday, after a near two-hour rain delay, wound up 7-6 as right fielder Logan Sowers delivered his sixth home run of the season to dead center in the eighth inning, part of a three-hit day early evening out at the Bart for the Hoosiers, as it turned out. A game which finished up with hurler Kyle Hart getting a couple of putouts, playing center field, playing for Laren Eustace, who earlier tweaked a hamstring. Not expected to be anything serious, but Hart did a nice job defensively. Hoosiers trailed 5-1, but the rains came, and then after the delay, Indiana got red hot. They put a five spot in the home half of the seventh, and after PU tied things in the eighth at 6, that set the stage for the Lafayette native, Logan Sowers, to crush one to center field. And then junior Thomas Belcher, he's been tough. He mopped up things with his fourth save. That's 9 straight games now without giving up a run. Hoosiers with the perfect week now, 17-13. And mentioning streaks, Ryan Feinman had a hit to extend his hitting streak out to 11 games in that victory last night. Elsewhere on the diamond, Michelle Gardner's softballers, they averted a Penn State sweep, winning 11-2 on Sunday. First career win for sophomore Emily Kirk. She allowed just 2 runs on 7 hits, pitching the complete game, leaving IU 5-6 in the Big Ten. But 22 wins overall, and hopefully number 23 tomorrow night under better skies. and weather as Indiana will host U of L out at Andy Moore. Jeremy Wertzman's Hoosier Netters beat Penn State and Butler and shut them out. Both of them 4-0 and 7-0 respectively. Sophomore Raheel Manji stepped up and won singles against Butler, by the way, and won a straight setter. Lynn Loring's Women Netters 0-2 on the road this past weekend against Big Ten powers Illinois and Northwestern, as they lost to the league unbeaten Wildcats Sunday in Evanston 6-1. Indiana now 3-4. Will finish, though, with four straight home matches starting Friday against Wisconsin in an effort to get back to its winning ways. Well, mentioning getting back to its winning ways, Barry King's water polo crew up in Ann Arbor over the weekend did what they needed to do, and that's get a couple of wins in the CWPA, which they did. They beat Harvard 10-7 and Princeton 8-7. Candace Schroeder had a hat trick in both games for Indiana, still ranked 15th nationally, but now with the double win, 17-6 on the air. Mary Campbell had 11 saves against Harvard and 4 against Princeton. Mentioning water, the Hawkeye Classic up in Iowa over the weekend. Indiana, Steve Peterson's Boaters beat Minnesota 39-33 in the morning races, lost to Wisconsin in the afternoon. They ran track down in Auburn, Alabama. Madison Stinger had a nice run of 4:29, winning the women's 1500 meters as they swept that. Former North Cougar standout Dylan Anderson tied for fourth in the men's pole vault, 16.6¾. Willie Morrison placed third in the shot, a heave of 58.1¼, and Indiana's mile relay team placed second with a season best 3:11.9. In soccer, exhibition over the weekend at the National Sports Festival up in Fort Wayne, Austin Pacho scored in the 86th minute as Todd Yeagley's Booters knocked off Notre Dame 1-0. His goal came off a rebound, but Notre Dame's keeper was unable to handle a shot from about 35 yards out by Trevor Schwartz. Indiana's going to be in action again, exhibition-wise, on Friday, playing up at that brand-new complex, Grand Park in Westfield, against Butler, as Indiana continues along. They outshot the Irish, by the way, even though the score was 1-0. That was the most important thing. They outshot them 10-4. In golf over the weekend, Mike Mayer's crew, a 295 over the Otter Creek course in Columbus yesterday in the final round of the Collegiate at Otter Creek, giving the Hoosiers a sixth-place finish overall. They finished up with a 590 team score. Andrew Havel and Max Collin led the Hoosiers. Both finished the two rounds at 146 and a tie T13 on the individual leaderboard. Havel a final round 74, but Max checked in with a 171 on Sunday, and that was the best round by any Indiana player on the day. Of course, we talked with Mike Mayer last week on Sports Talk. The Hoosiers don't even leave the state here over the next couple of weeks. This weekend, it's up in West Lafayette for the Boiler Invitational, and then they'll play the Big Ten Championships the end of April at Victoria National down in Newburgh. By the way, in the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls at 6. Don't forget spring football, 7 o'clock, nighttime action at Memorial Stadium, as Kevin Wilson's crew will put on the show, the cream and the crimson.
And Joe, the spring game is free, so make sure that falls into that category as well. And the weather for the spring game that night, 72 and sunshine on Friday evening.
Can't beat that, can you?
No, you can't. The men's race on Saturday will be a little bit warmer, 75. The women's race, 4 o'clock on Friday, 72 at race time. So they should have sunshiny skies, big crowds, and just a great environment, the greatest college week. What is that called again?
World's greatest college weekend.
Well, I'll have to get a T-shirt or something to remind me of that.
There you go.
I've lived through a few of them and lived to tell about a few of them. That's good. So
yeah,
exciting
time.
That's
the most important thing.
We're done with spring football then on after the spring game, right?
There'll be one practice afterwards. He did this the last couple of years. So
okay.
They've got a practice. They're off today, practice tomorrow. That'll be number 12. They got another one Thursday, of course, the game, and then the final one afterwards.
Kind of just to tie up any loose ends after the game, which you saw on film one final time before the spring season's over. And that's the NCAA's rules. That's not Coach Wilson's rules. You only get a finite amount of practices. You can use them whenever you'd like, but you only have a finite amount to have. Well, and then they're back for fall camp in, what, the first week in August?
Yep, and you know, what really helped them was the extra practices they had since they went to the bowl game back in December.
Those that's huge.
Practices, which
about 13 of them, right? 11
of them. That helps set the stage for what has been a pretty productive spring here when things got rolling, especially after spring break.
And that's why the bowl appearances are so important for teams trying to get to that next echelon, especially in the division they play in the Big Ten. Not making excuses, Joe. It's just that's the harder one, and it's not even close.
No, and, you know, hopefully that hump has been broken, and Indiana will be returning them anymore. And the next hump is, you know, to have a winning season, and that's the aim in 2016.
And football, again, that's coming up Friday, 7 o'clock, free admission at the Memorial Stadium for all of that. Reds are on the radio tonight. We hope they're hot. They're 5-1. Jay Bruce's RBI double won it in the bottom of the ninth yesterday. They take 2 out of 3 from the Pirates. They're now 5-1 on the year. Reds in Chicago, 8 o'clock, weather permitting in Wrigley. They're there Wednesday, Thursday before heading to St. Louis on Friday. So the first road trip of the year for the Kings of the Ohio. Hopefully that pitching travels, Joe.
Yeah, both clubs 5-1. Of course, the Cubs suffering that tough loss, and that was literally a tough one to stomach around these parts with Kyle Schwarber being lost to the team. As it turned out, he tore ACL in that left knee in that collision with Dexter Fowler back.
Yeah, everybody thought it wasn't a big deal until the MRI came back.
Yeah, and doggone it.
ACL, MCL, and you name it.
Big blow, but I mean, they've got some depth and pieces that Joe Maddon can, you know, work with there as far as his replacement.
Yeah, and Kyle's 24. He'll heal and be just fine.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, he'll be okay. He'll mentally stay in it and still be a big factor despite the fact that his season is over.
All right, Joe, great stuff as always. We will get caught up with you tomorrow night live at Yogi's, where you will welcome Fred Glass. And you've got some special guests as well for the second half of the program.
Well, we have an interesting publication coming out in connection with the state's 200th birthday this year, and that is the 25 greatest sports story in the history of Indiana. So
excellent.
That'll be up for some discussion with guys that have written about it. And Anthony Pizzo has turned it into gold, if you will, with what he has done on the big screen. And the Hall of Fame journalist himself and Hall of Famer in the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. And by the way, Angelo will be inducted this July as well. So Bob Hamm will be on board along with Brent Slinkard, who's kind of coordinated everything. And we'll be putting together this coffee table type book that is coming out with pictures and what have you, stories of the 25 greatest stories ever in the history of Indiana. Should be an interesting conversation.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow night, my man.
All righty.